All right, it's a good morning to you and welcome to Realm of the Historics. And this is a show in which we look at issues, whether they are historic issues, religious issues, philosophical issues, geopolitical issues. We look at them with a different eye. Please pardon me today because our usual signature is not here. That's why maybe you are confused. You don't know when, because our usual signature is not here. But those are technical nitty-gritties that are solvable. So, yes. We are going to continue with part three, which I think it's going to be the last in the series when we are looking at polygamy. And I think I might get my guest, the guest that I was supposed to get last Sunday. So stay tuned as we come back. All right, we continue, and so we are looking at the two pillars of that, you know, helped establish the two pillars that helped establish polygamy. The two pillars that helped establish polygamy. One is economic reasons, because when a polygamous family is a populated, you know, household, so work is effectively and efficiently done. Then, again, is it's more on, you know, the sexual advantage that the patriarch gets into this relationship. So it's the economic benefit and the sexual, advantage that the patriarch gets in this relationship. And according to culture, polygamy is not a cultural thing. It's not a traditional thing. It is also not a customary thing. Okay, we can put it this way. Let's say it could be cultural, it could be traditional, but it's not customary. So it is not under customary law of any tradition. It's not governed by a customary law. It is governed by ethical and moral norms. So it's an ethical and a moral norm. But it is not a cultural, traditional, customary law. So it's not bound by any law. Even if you get to well-established traditional authorities, for example, the Ndonga and the Kwambi and the Subia and Mafwe or Mbunza and so forth, you will never get a law, you know, dictating how many wives a man should have. You will never get that law in any writing. Because if it were too important, it wouldn't have been forgotten. It would have been written in the laws, in the customary laws of traditional authorities. So, the fact that it was not put in or stipulated, it's a sign that this is not customarily binding for anyone to marry more than one wife. In fact, there is no law against marrying one wife. So, we need to know that. So we need to know that and take note of that. And when you are going to come in, I also want you to understand what we are discussing. So it's a moral issue. It's not a traditional issue. It's not a traditional and cultural issue. And most people that say it is cultural, they don't make a distinction between a moral, individual moralistic issue and a traditional collective norm. People don't make a difference. Anything that is done, as long as we are the ones doing it, we say it's our tradition. But that's not true. Not everything we do is tradition. You see? Not every freedom is democratic. And not every democratic law is freedom law. Points to freedom. So not every right is right. You know, and we live in this age where everything is my right. But is that right, right? You can have a right, but it is wrong. You know? Because we have become democratically superficial. Just like we became culturally and traditionally superficial. To the point that we think everything is our tradition just because it is done in our environment. Certain things are enforced in an environment. For example, you see, I tell people that tradition and culture existed before the so-called African religion, which does not even exist anyway. Because there is nothing called African religion. because Africa is a heterogeneous, group of peoples. You can't have a religion of Africans because they are heterogeneous. We are not homogeneous. Okay? So, we are not homogeneous. We are heterogeneous. So there's no way you can say it's African religion, because the Ovambos have their own theology. The Ovambos have their own theology. The Ovahereros have their own theology. And the Nkumbis, the Ngambwes, the Nyembambwelas, they have their own different theology, totally different from what the Ovambos have. Of course, there will be one or two similarities here and there. There will be one or two similarities, but that does not mean that the theology is the same. You know, the Buddhists believed Jesus existed. The Muslims believed Jesus existed, but their theology is different from Christianity. The Jews believed Jesus existed, but the Jews did not believe that Jesus was whom the Christian, you know, claimed him to be. And the Judaism doesn't believe what Islam claimed, you know, Jesus is. In fact, the Jews believed that Jesus was a false prophet. They called him a drunkard and a friend of sinners and tax collectors. They called him greedy and drunkard. That's what they called him. Okay, that's another subject for another time. We'll come to talk about why the Jews called Jesus a drunkard. But, you see, the theology is not the same. Now, tradition, you see, when you are Mkwanekamba, Mkwanangobe, that's not a tradition, or that's not a culture. Mkwanangobes and Mkwanyokas, that is not a tradition. That is spirituality. The totems and clans, that's not Oshiwambo culture. That is an Oshiwambo spirituality. So the problem we have, even among the circles of adult in the traditional, you know, circles, we mix things. And because we mixed things, and some of us have seen how our elders have lived, and they try to say we must take over when they die. We are afraid because we know how they died, or because of the things they acquired or the powers that they acquired. So in tradition, you can be an Oshiwambo, very full traditional. You can be Oshiwambo, very fully traditional and cultural. I know that what I'm about to say is controversial, but let me make a point, and then you can counter it. You know, because this show is about countering, and we don't exclude anybody, even a colleague that is, you know, listening right now can call in and dispute what I'm saying. Even John Walenga himself he has a right to call in and dispute what I'm saying. Because he's a listener, he's also a listener. A colleague is just a, is also a listener just like anybody, and can have views that could be very different from mine, or from my own research and findings. So, Realm of the Historics is for everyone. And we open the line for everyone. And you see, on the Realm of the Historics, we are not afraid of being counter-attacked. Somebody must be able to counter-respond from what is being said, whether or not they are colleagues or just, you know, listeners. They are just listeners. We don't count who it is. Now, let me explain, because we need to explain where the totems came from. And you see, our elders are afraid of talking about this because these things are consequential. You really need to be spiritually strong and fit to be able to talk about these things. Otherwise, you will go down. No joke about that one. So I'm talking about these things because, you know, I'm spiritually well armed. I can withstand any form of threat. You know, I lived among the native, you know, elders who taught me these things. Because I asked them questions. And they answered questions. I started doing my research on these things. So I just want to justify my point to say there are things that are in our culture or that are in our cultural environment which are not part of our culture. Okay? There are things that we do in our cultural environment which are not a part of our culture. Just like there are things that are done in a political society, in our society, in our republic, that are never part of a Namibian, you know, a Namibian societal lifestyle. But they are enforced. They are enforced. Things like abortion. There is no abortion in any culture. If somebody is pregnant, the child is born. And if the person is not able to raise that child, the responsibility to raise the child is given to somebody who is fit to do so. But abortion, people are fighting for abortion to be legalized. It is democratically correct, societally and morally, ethically wrong, spiritually wrong. Traditionally wrong, culturally wrong, environmentally wrong, continentally wrong. You see? But democratically correct. It can even be constitutionally correct. When the constitution is amended to have that, it will be constitutionally correct, politically correct, democratically correct. And correct from a human right point of view, but societally wrong, culturally wrong, continentally wrong, environmentally wrong, ethically wrong, morally wrong, traditionally wrong. So, this is where we stand. The cultural and democratic environment were also invaded by one or two things that were never part of the environment from the beginning. We know that a human being is a spirit being, but the type of spirituality that we started to practice was wrong. Now, I'm not saying wrong from any religious perspective. I'm going to say it wrong from cultural and traditional point of view. The certain spiritualities that we started to practice we even call it African, you know, religion, which is not African religion, in fact, it's a universal issue. They were culturally and traditionally wrong, because traditionally and culturally we had the spirituality that was connected to our law, which is founded on natural law, and connected to our conscience. And our conscience is inbuilt. So, just that's why even Leopold the 16th said, you cannot teach a black man God. A black man know who God is. In fact, the people that spread Christianity are not white. The people that spread Christianity were blacks. Now, I'm talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about Catholicism, Lutheranism, Anglicanism, and all the isms. Those isms were brought by the white people here to Africa, yes. Catholicism, Anglicanism, Lutheranism, that's not Christianity. So that's Catholicism giving birth to itself in different manifestations. Protestantism and whatever is not Christianity. So Christianity existed before Roman Catholic Church was formed. And the people that were having the book were blacks before it fell in the hands of the Roman Catholic Church. And they corrupted it. So, but when you are listening to history from somebody if you listen to history from activists or history from politicians, they'll tell you otherwise. Because they mix colonialism colonial Lutheranism, colonial Catholicism. That's not Christianity. There's a difference between Christianity and colonial Catholicism and colonial evangelical Lutheranism and so forth. Those are colonial entities. Roman Catholic Church, Anglican Church, Lutheran Church, Dutch Reformed, all those churches are colonial entities that were established by the Rhenish, the Germans, and so forth. That's not Christianity. Christianity is totally different from that. So when we make historical, comment, we need to be aware of the difference. That's why Roman Catholic Church was expelled from Ethiopia. Because the Ethiopians had the correct, understanding of what Christianity was. They expelled Roman Catholic, if you read about Ethiopia, you will see how they differentiate between Roman Catholicism and Christianity. So, Roman Catholicism is not Christian, but they are Christians in Roman Catholic. So that's where the difference is. And I will say there could be Christians in the Roman Catholic, just like in any other church. Pentecostalism is not Christianity. But there are Christians in Pentecostalism. All these things, all these entities are organizations like subsidiaries of the Roman Catholic Church, which is a colonial arm of, you know, which is a colonial arm of Europe. That's not Christianity. So, I'm just trying to make you understand that there are things that came into our environment that are not part of us. So, the first thing we did was to be spiritually colonized. Okay, let me leave this so that I can come up. I will talk about it next time. So, polygamy, it's a moral issue. It's not a cultural issue. It can never be argued on a cultural point of view. But was polygamy in the culture? Yes, it is in the culture. In fact, it's a norm. It's a cultural norm. So how did it become a culture? It became a culture. One person did it and the other people started to do it. And then they started to establish silent laws that are not, you know, they are not enforced. They are not enforceable laws, but they exist mentally. You know, they exist psychologically. And they exist, those laws exist perceptively. Let me put it that way. So these laws exist perceptively. I think I need to look for a job in the traditional authority. I love tradition. So it exists perceptively. The laws were established silently. They are not binding, but binding at the same time. So they exist perceptively and psychologically or mentally. A man that is able to marry 2 or 3, 4 wives should be a man that is able to take care of these women. But polygamy, it's a patriarchal issue. It's a patriarchal moral issue. In fact, culturally, some people argue, and I will partly agree with them. They argue that, look, in a traditional setup, in a cultural setup, women were not allowed to just live loosely, just like that. That's why some will be married off just to be called under a name of somebody, to be taken care of, and their children will be safe. Which is good, you know, argument. In fact, factual, when you are looking at it from a cultural, environmental, you know, standpoint. That's factual. But the problem is, we don't, just like people that are fighting for abortion in Namibia. You see, when we legalize abortion, that's very good. That's democracy, you know, winning. But are we prepared to deal with the psychological aftermath of the mothers, especially, that are going to be involved in this practice? Because this is a psychologically consequential. Most of us don't understand who are human rights activists. We are just excited and so, because none of us, in fact, have done abortion. But as somebody that has been doing counseling, and I can tell you from experience, I worked in church for 12 years. And I've learned from the counseling, from a counseling point of view, that it doesn't end from just getting rid of a pregnancy. There are emotional breakdowns, psychological breakdowns, and mental instabilities that come after that. And you as an activist are not able to solve, because this young lady will be left alone to deal with that. And we only have psychiatric hospitals, that centers that are two in Namibia. Two. Oshakati and Central Hospital. There was no hot water in Central Hospital. I don't know now whether they sorted that problem out. So please don't start. So, the aftermath of polygamy, the reasoning of polygamy can be convincing. The reasoning of polygamy can be convincing, but nobody has really come up with a pro, with the cons. We only talk about the pro. Because that should fit in the patriarchal narrative. But what about the women that are involved in this type of partnership? Let me now break it down from a Lozi and Oshwambo cultures, which I'm very well versed in. I'll start with the Oshwambo culture. You see, the issue we have in Oshwambo culture is we have a problem where the relationship between a father and son is shaky culturally. The relationship between a son and his father, or daughter and father, the relationship is shaky culturally. You will find, and my research can be proven wrong, right? This is my findings, and I put it on the table to be proven 100% wrong or correct. You don't need to be apologetic on it. But in an Oshwambo's culture, since the children are counted more on the mother's side, the relationship between the children and the father is very shaky. Because you are taught to understand that your father is not yours. Or they in Oshwamba say Hokeshin Kweni. And that kind of belief system was never part of the culture. There was a situation that provoked that. That was never an Oshwambo culture. I can tell you that. In as much as the Oshwambo tribal lineage is created from a matriarch, it's matriarchal, so is the Lozi, the first Lozi, Luyana, who created the Luyana tribal lineage was Mbuya Mwambwa, who was the matriarch. So the Lozi and Wambo tribal lineages, and so is the Herero tribal lineages, were created by matriarchs. Okay? They started with matriarchs. To the point that the Luyana said, look, we need a man to lead us. We need a male to lead us because we need to command wars. We need to have a military that is organized. For us to do that, we need a male leader. That's when Mbuyamwamba agreed and said, okay, that's the truth. I will give you, now I have to be corrected whether Mbo was his was her brother or her son. I think he was her brother. So Mbo became the first king of the Luyana. Now, being established by a matriarch doesn't negate the power of, doesn't negate the patriarchal power. Remember I told you what patriarchy is. Patriarchy is an outer shell. It's like an egg, you know. Women are like the inside. Women are the real egg inside. And that egg can never be an egg if it's not in the shell. So men are supposed to be this shell that protects the egg, you know, because if the egg is out of the shell, it will spill. But the egg need to be in the shell to be protective. And the patriarchy system was created to be the shell to protect women until entitlement crept in. And that's when entitlement crept in, men started to be entitled and they lost focus. And that's when women also revolted and they started asking, you know, fighting for their rights. So that, if you want to listen to that, I think it's on our podcast on what the meaning of patriarchy and why patriarchy was established, who established, you know, patriarchy. We spoke about that one. So you can go to the podcast and you'll find it. So, in Oshwambo culture, which became a cultural, and it's not even customary. It's not enforceable by the traditional authority. It's a cultural norm and belief. The problem is that cultural belief become very strong and they surpass cultural morality and cultural, you know, customary laws. That's a problem with belief. Belief is very dangerous. Let alone when it is a wrong belief. Saying that your father, you have no share on your father's side. This is a belief that has broken the Owambo society big time. This is a belief that has broken the Owambo society big time. So, and it was not from the beginning. There was an event that provoked that. You know, there was an event that provoked that. And we are going to look at that event and investigate it one day. There was an event that provoked this belief. An event that led to an interpretation. You know, remember Mr. Oshoveli's show of yesterday, that there are events that are playing in our minds. In those events, create an interpretation. And then an interpretation creates a perception. A perception comes now into a belief. And the belief creates an emotion, which leads to a decision. And the decision creates an action. And then the results thereof. And that's where we found ourselves. So, in Oshwambo culture, a child does not belong to the father. Your father is not your relative. So your mother is there, is your relative. Now, let me say you got married first, and then you are called the main wife, like the chief wife. You know, Shwamba, they call her Nyalombe. And then Totende is the one that, is the one that welcomes the people. She's more of a receptionist. You know, that's what she's called Totende. She's a receptionist. And then you have what we call Mweaka. Mweaka, most people say Wokehaka, but in the etymological correct word is Mweaka, which means the little one has just joined. So mostly Mweaka is younger than all the women that have come. So, now, according to the tradition or to the norm, you know, Shwambo, setup of a polygamous, you know, home, the chief wife is the one that she is the chief matron of all women that are married there. Of all her co-wife. She's a chief matron. So she's kind of like a prime minister, you know, head of public administration. She's the one that is responsible to open the storage facilities to distribute, you know, grain when the grain has run out. So nobody else. So there is another promotion that can be there for Nyalombe Mshona, which is a deputy chief wife or deputy chief matron, like a deputy prime minister. Very organized, you know, household in terms of structural chain of command. But it can be very chaotic. And here's how it will become chaotic. Now, the chain of command is very well organized. So the chief wife will decide, of course, from the command of the patriarch to open the facility and give grain. But the space between the decision taken and action is very long, is very wide. So all these women will be forced to go to their brothers or to their sisters or to their paternal, you know, maybe to their houses to go and look for food for their children. So the responsibility to look for food for your children is on you as a mother, while the decision, you know, is well, the decision is pending high-level approval. Because it could be that Mnyalombe or the chief matron has, you know, her own, since she's a chief wife, she knows what to do. While it is being approved, you will go and look for food for your children. So that's in Oshwambo culture. A man cares mostly for his sister's children because those are his family. His sister's children are his family. So when they come, he might give them food from that facility, might open it. But he might not give the house food because the children in the house are not his family. That's according to the understanding, which is very, okay, I don't know how good this decision is. I mean, this belief is, we need to be critical of it. And we see today in this modern world how that belief from the foundation, how it has laid a different foundation and given us a different, you know, outcome in within the Oshiwambo, you know, people. Because there are certain things that we do in culture, that we did in culture, whose consequences when they are coming today, we don't understand. We are saying we don't understand, but we are forgetting that we are seeing these things as consequences of yesterday's decision or yesterday's practice. And in fact, there is no practice without consequence. Yes.
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me. I think I have to come in here. The culture, it's something that, you know, that changes, right? From time to time. And where you're saying that, you know, look, it's habits, it's tradition, it's beliefs, it's for society. That's a culture. You know, it's not fixed. But when it comes to moral, you know, moral is to differentiate between right and wrong. So the reason why people are marrying, you know, polygamy, in these cultures, is because, you know, the culture doesn't, you know, isn't fixed. They could have anything they want. You know, they don't have the right, you know, thinking, right? They could choose what they want, what they feel, you know, whether it's 10 wives, 3 wives, you know, that's a culture, that's a tradition. Some might not, some will. So, but when it comes to moral, I think moral is just fixed. You know, you either stand for what is right and what is wrong. So I think my intake there.
Yeah. So in your view, what is wrong and what is right?
In my view, I think, look, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the reason why people are marrying, you know, polygamy in that, you know, culture is because, you know, the culture allows it. Tradition allows it because that's not moral, right? And because culture is not fixed. I mean, if you just look around in every culture, there are some stuff that are right and some stuff that are wrong. But when you take in the moral or morality, or when you take Christianity per se, it's just point that this is wrong. You don't have to do it. But culture doesn't say that. Culture can do anything you want. You could either
not necessarily that culture you can do what you want. You see, culture has a law, which we call customary law. And culture also has norms. And then culture also has beliefs. Now, the problem is that because there's no enforceable, there are certain enforceable laws in culture that when you violate this law, you go and pay. But polygamy is not part of the enforceable law. It's limited to an individual moral instinct, which is now bound to your how you interpret things and your perception. You would see it wrong. Somebody will see it correct. So it's an individualized something, choice. that cannot entirely be cultural.
Yeah, look. This is the difference here when it comes to, you know, morality and, I mean, the culture. You know, look, say for instance, you know, if you're a rich man, you're a really rich man, wealthy, right? You know, you got everything. I mean, you got cars, you got money. Yeah, you are a cultural man, a traditional man. In your own, you know, eyes, you could do what you want, because in the name of culture, you could have two wives because you could support them, you could feed them. That in your eyes, that's correct. You know, that's correct. That's good. You could marry three wives, four wives, because you could support them, right? But in morality, you can't do that because it's wrong. I mean, whether you are rich or not, you can't do that. That's the difference here. That's what I'm trying to point here. So of course, you know, they have their norms, they have their laws, and what have you, but it's not correct. It doesn't distinguish between right and wrong. Differentiate between that this is, you know, accepted by God, or it's only accepted by men, you know. In the man, I fight. I could, you know. So that's my intake here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Right. It is 5 minutes to 12, and 12 o'clock we're going to have a short break, a commercial break, and after that we will continue. So, in the Nashwamba culture, now, the man will give, even when the man dies, the house will come and be inherited in most cases by, and these women will scatter. Everybody will go where they are coming from with their children. They will go back to their, you know. There are rare cases where houses are left intact when the man of the house dies. People will come and take cattle. They will not even think about the children because the children don't belong to the man. They are not part of the man's family. So people from the man's family will come and inherit everything. And, you know, most...
Yes, good morning, Mr. Franz.
Morning.
Yes, I've been listening to your program 30 minutes ago.
Okay, so we might be interrupted by a short break because we are having... in 3 minutes' time. Okay?
No, I'll be done. No, I'll be done in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, first let me just disagree with you on your earlier statement of saying polygamy is benefiting patriarchy, or patriarchy is the one that supports, or that maybe, I don't know how you put it, but actually,
yeah.
Polygamy is a metric, is a matriarch concept, because when it started, the true polygyny, it was the women who decided, from when you look at it from an economic point of view, the women back then, because remember, there were no offices, there were no factories back then in our community. So everything depended on the family. So it's the women who decided that, no, they need help. So they are the ones who decided, okay, no, you know, in terms of their responsibility. So it was too much, it was a lot of responsibility for one woman to take care of the family.
Okay, so is that history imperative, comparative, is it oral, or is it somewhere?
No, that's history. Even in the Bible itself, when you look at Proverbs 31 woman, when you look at that description, it is the woman is the one who makes sure that, you know, the kids are taken care of and all.
Okay, unfortunately we have lost lost the caller. They was coming very well, but we are heading for a short break, and after that we'll come back and continue with our conversation. I said that whatever I'm saying here, you can come in and dismiss it. It's a conversation. So, and I'm just making a conversation based on my findings. And my findings 100%.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook.
All right, we come back. Okay, so my brother was coming very well there. But the scripture is quoting, is not pointing to polygamy. The scripture is quoting is a monogamous. Can you please switch off your radio? Your radio.
Yes, Franz.
Yes.
Good day.
Good day.
Morning.
Yeah, morning.
Morning, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to concur with you when you is talking about culture, what, especially when you say back then, let me use the word back. Back then, you know, Swambo culture, when you die, when you are married, your relatives or your family are your nephews, the children of your sisters. That was the time. But however, let me put it this way. The time is, despite that, it's still believed, people are normal now. They have woken up to the point that they cannot, many of them decided that they cannot deprive their own children what belongs to them. Because back then, your children, they are not supposed to inherit anything from you or even your wife. Trying to say is that many people now, despite the belief and norms, people have woken up to the point that they are more focusing on their own children and their wives instead of the nephews and whoever, to inherit what they have sweated for. Before I go on, unless you are having something to say, to add on.
No, go on, please.
Yeah, I can give you an example. My own late father, he was born in 1917, the year King Mandume died. Departed from this earth in the 2006. As old as he was, and belong to the old timers, he makes sure that I cannot deprive my own children what belongs to them. So he made sure that at least we, his children, as old as we were that time, we are having our own houses, he make sure that we at least we got what belongs to us and give to the nephew what belongs to them. Not this old thing that there was this thing of they come and take it from you. That was the issue. It has been happening. When your father decided, no, my son, you did this good for me, or let me just give you something to start your house with. When your father died, the nephews will come and get that one, asking you, what you owe your father for him for him to give you a car or something like that. So my point that I'm trying to bring is that the things are changing. People are waking up now. Those who are stuck in their old way of doing things, they are there, it's still there, it's happening. Even the household, they are no longer being, many of them, they are no longer being chased out of their home seat. So it's happening. I'm not saying it's totally no longer happening. It's taking place. But it's only that the people are waking up now, and the law is also there now. It's in case of their wives now, who are left by their husband. So things are changing, although there are those who are still stuck in the old way of doing things. That's all what I have to say first.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes. All right, so let me finish this point. Then I will take calls again. Okay, so the issue of children belonging to the mother and not to the father is not a Noshwamba culture. Let us hear this very well. It is not a Noshwamba tradition. It was a belief that was enforced in the Oshwamba culture because of an event that happened. In fact, there were two events that provoked that. And everybody believes, no, the children are, they belong to their mother's side. There was an event that provoked that. That your father is not your relative. Hokeshin Kweni. So that is an event that was created, and we are going to talk about who created this and why. But that is going to be next time. Because there are a lot of things that came into the culture that were never part of culture. And those things have brought us consequential problems right now. Because if you check, and then this is my findings, and I want it to be proven wrong or right. One, if you put 10 men, Ovambo men, it is only 3 of them that will talk about their fathers in a good way. The 7 will only talk about their mother. So, 3 in 10 Ovambo men, you will only talk about one that will talk about their father, or 2 or 3. If it's 3, then you are lucky. For women, it is even worse. You know, for women, it will even be worse. So the father-child relationship was broken by a belief, and it's not by culture. So belief is not culture. Belief came from an event that created an interpretation that led to a perception. And that perception gave birth to a belief that created an emotion that created a decision to put it in practice. So, and in fact, that's how even culture was created. It was created from events. So yesterday's topic was very important. Events. Be careful of the events in your mind. So the reason why I'm saying polygamy is to benefit the patriarchy is, number one, a household is an economy. And the manager of an economy, a manager of a company is not greater than the founder of the company. So, I can be here managing this station, but I'm not greater than John Walenga. That's a fact. In fact, my position as a manager is to make sure that the dream of the founder of this company is fulfilled. So you don't manage out of your own will. You manage based on the dream and the vision of the founder. And now, who is the founder of the household? It's the man. Because the man is the one that goes to seek and to find that which is suitable and compatible for him to, compatible with him. And in fact, that which would work according to his plan. Women don't find houses. That's culturally wrong. Women are found. Men are the one that go and seek for women. So, the issue of polygamy is 100% patriarchal. And women are just managers of that household. That's why in the Oshwambo culture, I'm giving you the Oshwambo culture before I go to the Silozi. But the Oshwambo culture, you don't open the facility without a command from the men. Just like in a company, you don't come up with a decision without informing the shareholders. Because you as a CEO are not the one that you can be brilliant, but you have the CEO, the shareholders. The reason why we have a problem between James Sankwasa and the CEO in Katima is because one wants to have power beyond his ability. So, you will have problem. Authority is different from power. You know, I have the power to change programmings in Eagle FM. I have such power. But that power will be nothing without an authority. So I need authority to do that. I have the power. The one that you politically call it a prerogative power. I have that power. But this power is nothing on its own. Because I need authority to do that. So, authority comes from who? From the person that gives you the power. In fact, even the power that I have is not my power. So, thus I'm saying women have never created polygamy. Polygamy is a patriarchal creation. And it's an individualized, moralistic insight. It's not bound by customary law. That's why you can never go to a traditional authority and take somebody to court for marrying two wives. You have no ground on which this person can be tried. Well, you can't take a person to a traditional court for marrying one wife. They will strike that case, you know, of the roll, of the court roll, because you have no legal ground. Polygamy is an individualistic, moralistic choice. It has nothing to do with culture. It has nothing to do with culture. It is a belief and a perception and a choice based on the ability of a man to do so. But we know that people like my father, were married, were in a, my father was, you know, in a polygamous marriage. So, and you see, my brother and myself have different viewpoints on how we look at it. You know? My father, I mean, my brother might have a different viewpoint from how I look at it. And since I grew up before him, I might have some certain insight that he might not have, but that does not mean he doesn't have a viewpoint. In fact, he might even have more insightful viewpoint than what I have. So, but I want to also bring him in here so that you at least hear his side. I told you my side of, things the other day. That after seeing my mother cry in front of me, I considered polygamy as something not, I said I'll never do, polygamy. I'll never be, you know, I'll never marry, get into a polygamous, you know, marriage. Because of that, and I could see even my father himself, you know, he was under very high, heavy pressure. Because of that. All right. So, like I said, this is now Owen Sinengela. So,
yes.
He calls himself Pork Ribs. Yeah. So, I don't know whether he's a TikToker or a comedian.
I'm a comedian on TikTok and on Facebook.
Yes.
And in real life.
All right. So, welcome to Realm of the Historics.
Okay.
And we are talking about polygamy. So, whose benefit is polygamy?
I think polygamy I think it had a lot of beneficiaries. It has a lot of beneficiaries. It still has. It's not a one-sided thing. We look at all the members that are involved, starting from the society itself, benefits something from polygamy. The wife, the husband, the kids involved have something to benefit. So it's not a one-sided thing. And I think it's about time that society and people start to look at polygamy as not something that benefits one person, but something that is beneficial to all.
Okay.
Yes.
But then one would argue that there's so much competition, you know, between the kids and the wives. They are competing for the attention of one person. So how do you balance this? Because it's supposed to be a benefit to everyone.
Yeah, but I feel like there's nothing wrong with competition for as long as it's positive and for as long as that competition yields positive results. Because at the end of the day, I would want to be in a competition where at the end of the day, I don't even know what I'm winning and I don't even know the benefit for being in that competition. So is men in polygamous, I think that is where it gets a little bit biased. But I think that as a father or as a mother in a polygamous situation, you should be balanced. I think it's all about noticing what your kids
need, you know, what they want and how to meet up. How you also need to have a balanced timetable to say, how do I make sure that all my kids benefit something from me? How do they spend time with me? Do I take them? Do I talk to them as individual? Do I have space and time to look at every individual need, or do I do that as a collective? So there's nothing wrong with having a polygamous dad taking the kid on a Sunday to the park or church or for a bride. That means that you are doing it collectively. Like you are looking at them in a collective manner. You are looking at them. You are regarding them as one, as a whole unit, not as an individual. It becomes a problem when you want to individually look at their needs. Because
but
some might
look,
feel like...
There is a saying that one cannot serve two masters. That kind of friction which forces you to be lenient on one side without noticing is one that is going to be to provoke a situation where a certain group feels privileged while a certain group feels disadvantaged.
Okay. I do say that one cannot serve two masters. That is a phrase in English which we learned. Where did we get it from? Because we need to look at things like, where did they come from? Where did this perspective, this point of overlooking or looking at this issue come from? Who brought it to us? That is one point that we need to look into.
Okay, but but practically, as a human being.
Yes, it does.
You know, practically as a human being, you will be tempted to be lenient on one side than the other.
Okay.
As a human being.
As fathers are, I am a father, but if I had 4 or 5 kids, thank God I only have one kid. But if I have 4 or 5 kids, it would make me look like as if I am biased. Because as a person, when you have kids, you are looking for that mini version of yourself. And you relate more to a kid that has those traits than another kid who doesn't have possessed those traits. So my dad, our father had, you know, he loved animals, he loved farming, he did what. Where did I connect with him? It was because I wanted to be a farmer as him. I walked in his shoes. I loved animals. I did everything that he wanted. So we met, we could have other differences, traits and everything, but when it came to the farm and the animals, I was his first option. So does that make him a biased father? No. He is looking for an individual who he can relate to, like, this is what I want, and if I'm about to go, this is who I want to run this department. And we have had kings in Africa, black kings, that came from polygamous, situations. It's all about the ranks in polygamy. We need to understand that, as culture says, you cannot have a kid that is born out of wedlock to be a king. As much as he possesses that, he needs to follow. They would consider somebody who was born in wedlock. That is what they would. Traditionally, that is what they would.
Yeah.
Does that make them biased? No. It's all about ranks. So even in polygamy, you need to know your place. If you are a woman and you agree to be married, you should know that everything you do has a limit, has an extent. There's a first wife who is called, she's the queen mother. And then there is you, who is the second wife, the third wife. So it's order of things. So they wouldn't crown a son born from the last wife, the fourth wife, leaving a son who is born from the first wife. It's the order of things. It's the law. So sometimes we jump into things without fully understanding. I think that is why polygamy is failing these days, because we jump into things
without understanding
the order of things.
Okay.
What is your role when you join a polygamous situation? What is your role? You need to know your role, and you need to execute within your role and the rights that comes with your role. You are not there to overpower. You don't jump into polygamy to overshadow. You jump into polygamy, you get in polygamy to do your role as a wife, as a fourth wife, as a seventh wife, or ninth, or whatever it is. That is your role. If the king feels like, I have two men daughters, I've sired two men daughters, and I need a son, your role is to go provide that son. It's not to overshadow. And it doesn't mean to say, if you are the fifth wife and you give birth to a son, it means now you are ranked first wife. That son is as much more of a son to the first wife, the second wife, the third house. Your role was to give the king a son. It was not to take position. It was not to switch ranks.
Well, you know that a family is a very corrupt entity, that even anti-corruption has no legal ground to investigate corruption.
They cannot investigate corruption in extended families.
Yes, because that's a very private, you know, entity.
Exactly.
But, you know, I can go and touch certain bushes to become, you know, to become a first wife, especially in our African way of doing things.
Yeah.
And then confuse everything.
You can cause chaos as much as you want, but what will society remember you? Because we need to be skeptical about things. If I die today, how will the next generation define me? That is what is important. They will know me as the second wife, or the first son, or the last born. So you can corrupt the situation. You can damage it. You can cause confusion here and there. But when you are dead, when you go, the society in which you were married to as a wife will always remember you as a second wife to somebody. They won't change it to say she was the first wife. They will say you were the last wife, you were the fourth wife.
So reality still this, the yeah, thing can, reality. Environment can change, but the reality remains the same.
The reality remains the same. It's a fact that you need to deal with.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so now, do you, in your view, think that people can still practice polygamy in this financial world that we live in?
Yeah. I think it can still work, because there are people that, you know, my salary is somebody's change, you know. So, men that feel like they can afford to have several households can still do that. It's not even something, it is a must. It is just something that was taken away from African men, because religion came in and people were told to say, you know, it's a taboo, it's not this, it's not that. But when you look at African men, like men, if I were to diversify it, they are polygamous. That is a fact that we deny. That is a fact that we try to put under the rug. But men are polygamous. So are animals. A bull has to be entitled to certain cows in a crop. You cannot just buy a bull for one cow. Exactly. So men are polygamous. And this is something that we have diluted. Something that we've ran away from, that was taken away from us. We were colonized. We were brutally killed. So you mean to tell me, if our forefathers didn't practice polygamy, do you think we could still have a generation of black people? By the fact that we were killed like flies, left, right, and center. They couldn't. Because one father could sire 18, 19, 20, 21 sons. And another person in another village could sire. So a community never dies. Because that was the backbone of community. It was the backbone of population. And it is something that was taken away from. It was our privilege. It was something that we owned. It was something that was rooted into our backbone, in our DNA. It is there.
So it's a patriarchal privilege.
Exactly. And it meant something in African society. It wasn't just a practice to say, oh, my God, he has stamina. It wasn't viewed like that. It was viewed as you know, it was a privilege to have four wives, six wives, and still maintain them in society.
But then women are also arguing to say, okay, look, if you are... You want polygamy to be legalized. What about polyandry? When women are also allowed, women should also be allowed to be married by multiple, you know, men.
It was not in our culture. We didn't have such account. But such could be if that woman is a leader of society, like she's a queen. She can overrule things. Especially, yes, she can overrule things. If you are a queen, you rule over a kingdom, you can have certain privileges. Like, you know, there are things that come with a package. Because men would bow down to you. Men would want to connect to you for certain benefits and everything. But now we are talking about you. You know, as I said, it was the order of things.
Yeah, but so because women are not bulls like men.
Exactly.
And their makeup in terms of stamina, because their own sexual drive comes from the heart and not from the head, from the machines down there.
Yes.
So now, maybe would that not complicate issues for polyandry to be fully functional as compared to polygamy?
I in that case, I am going to be neutral as well, but I think I jumped into this conversation based from a cultural point of view.
Yes.
And then now we have a modern world where, you know, somebody could question, like, if men are allowed to have multiple partners, why can't I? That is the fact that women are jumping out of their role, you know, culturally speaking, from a motive. You had a role to play, and that is to be a housewife, that is to nurture kids, take care of them, and do that. And then now, because we are having women having executive leadership positions, and they are on top of the whole food chain, it changes the dynamics. Even the rule of saying one man, one woman marriage thing, it comes from women. Once they were empowered and they were in power, they changed the situation. It's not men that decided to say, I can only have you and you alone. It's not. It's women. They were empowered. We said women empowerment. We did this and then we empowered them. And then after empowering them, we left men. And then men couldn't even, you know, tally up to be with a woman who is empowered. That is where these situations now come from.
I see.
Exactly. So a woman who is on charge and she's on top and she's empowered, we allowed white people to, you know, bring books about human rights and that all women are equal and all these are what. And then we agreed to that. But the whole movement was supporting, it was one-sided. And then the man child was left. It's even happening in today's society. We see worldwide organizations coming into schools to empower girls. You know, all my future is my choice, window of hope, whatever it was to empower girls. But the boy child was neglected. So now the question is, how does this boy child who is not informed, who is not empowered, deal with a girl child who is informed and empowered?
Yeah, that then becomes, when exactly. Logic is challenged, there is always violence.
Exactly. That is where it comes.
Yeah.
So men can practice polygamy today. It's not a sport. They should know that it's not a sport. They should understand where it comes from. They should understand, they should wear it like an armor. As black people, we need to wear some of our, you know, societal norms as an armor. It's not a sport. It's not to show off. It's not to do what, that was not the intention. But today, it is an intention. Like, I can have 7, 8 girlfriends of them, and they'll be like, oh, that person is bad. He got game. That was not the intention of it. You wouldn't be selected. Back in the days, you wouldn't be selected to be a leader of any organization, to be an Induna, a recruiter, if you didn't have 3 to 4 wives. Because people would question, how will you manage the society if you cannot manage 3 to 4 wives?
3 to 4 wives. It was a testing ground.
It was a testing ground. So the power of a man, the vision of a man, the leadership skills of a man were tested by the number of households he runs, smoothly, balanced.
Hmm.
Exactly.
Right. Thank you very much for those insightful, comments.
Thank you.
Right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Right.
You too.
All right. That is, of course, Owen, giving his views there. So you come in. This is a ground, neutral ground. You give in your view, how you see things. So I've laid the foundation and you build on it. So you choose what to build on the foundation. Yes. So 083-288-401. That's a number in studio. If you want to be part of the conversation. He's saying that he has given a lot of, he's given a lot of tangible perspective, practical perspective from culture. And in fact, I don't need to go deeper. I was supposed to go into there and give you another side of things, but he has done it all. So I don't want to dilute what he says. I don't want to dilute what he said, but I am going to bring in another person. I'm going to bring in another person. And we will continue. So, in other words, polygamy is a patriarchal privilege. And it is not bound by customary law, but it's a very strong norm that can be used as a basis on which you can be judged, on which your strength and your capability could be judged. So it is not customary law, but it can be used as a testing ground or a basis on which your strength and your capability can be tested. Hey. So I would agree with him on this point. And I also agree that, polygamy.
Yes, Mr. Franz.
Yes.
I'm happy that today Owen came in. It's the first time that I'm hearing him on the air.
No, he.
I didn't know that he is always part of this realm of historics.
No.
Because,
I'm
very happy that we are many.
He was supposed to be part of the conversation last Sunday.
Okay, yeah.
Then
yeah,
he got engaged.
He got busy. Yeah, that's very good. I wish that we could have many people. Like, you know, the good thing about your program for this Sunday is that it's not limited to the one, like, for the one that you do during the midweek.
Yeah.
Where it's just a one-hour thing. And then you have to do some news, and then people just call in from 12 up to 1. So this one is more open, and we give different, like, just like the way you say, that we must bring inputs. It's not about challenging each other, but it's about, you know, viewing things from different angles. If you are seeing 9, I'm seeing 6 here, but we are all on the same topic.
Which other letter, when you turn it around, can be like P? Is it 4 or?
I think it's is it B? B or P? I don't know.
Yeah, there's something. I'm not really.
Yeah, I think it's B, like the small B.
Yeah.
If you are coming from the other side,
yeah,
that is a P.
Yeah, so.
If I'm sitting here, I'll see that, you are, like, you have written B there.
Yeah,
because
I have never written with a pen in my life. I'm limited in those,
Yeah. Okay, so let me just finish my point that I was alluding to, even though you misinterpreted it a bit. But I don't want to remain in the scriptures, but I just want to show you, and I just want to bring in the side where the feminists are always missing the point.
Yeah.
The Proverbs 31 woman, that is the woman that everybody wants. Even the feminists themselves, if you look at what they are always fighting for, they are always fighting that they want to be independent, right? They want to stand on their own. You see, just like the way that Proverbs 31 woman was doing things, she does things, she doesn't depend on the men. If you read that in context, you put it into our culture, I think that woman is an African woman. When you look at that woman, Vasnengela, I'll be honest with you. If you can get 3 to 4 women, the Proverbs 31 woman, just like Owen said it, that community, I can guarantee you, Mr. Vasnengela, that there will be no one who will have like, you know, these things that we are facing now. There will be no such things as single house for headed homes. There will be no such things as street kids. There will be no such things. You see, these problems that we are bringing, like that are there now. Prostitution and whatever, struggle kids, you know, this issue of undisciplined kids causing a havoc to everyone. If you have that set up, imagine a small community, no matter how, even just, let me just give an example. I don't care. You can have 100 or 1,000 single women that are having kids with different fathers and have a small community of just 100 that is within that, you know, for me, I would rather go to that community. That is, because when you have one man that is having such type of a woman who is able to take care of their kids, who is able, imagine the leadership that will be there and the discipline that will be there. As Nengela said, the problem with polygamy conversations these days, I want to correct you on something else that you made a mistake, because I was just correcting you on the. But here I'll argue that polygamy benefits women because it makes sure that every woman has a husband. Every woman, even if you know these days, people always laugh that, no, you will never find, like here in Katima, they say that, no, if you are looking for a lady that does not have kids, you remain unmarried. We have kids who are 30 years or 25 years who are having 4 kids already with different fathers. Who do you think is going to marry that, like that woman? If they don't go into polygamy, and again, people who are divorcing, where do they go to? That's the point that we always forget.
they always go to the married men. It's just that they don't want to make it public.
We will be interrupted by a short break that is coming in a few seconds.
All eligible Namibian voters who missed out on last year's registration of voters, do not despair. The supplementary registration of voters takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025 in preparation for the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. The Electoral Commission of Namibia encourages all Namibian citizens who reside in local authority areas to register if they meet the requirements. To register, simply bring proof of your identity, age, and Namibian citizenship. To register for local authority elections, ensure you have proof of residence for the last 12 months. Not able to prove your residency in a local authority? Don't worry, you can confirm your residency by way of a sworn affidavit at the registration point. A right not exercised is a privilege wasted. Do not neglect your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
All right, let's go.
Okay, yes, Mr. Franz. Okay, let me finish up on the argument that I was saying. That I don't fully support that.
Okay, let me make a point. Let me just quickly inform. Yeah, you can still call in if you want to call in. The number is 083-238-8401. So the lines are open if you are there and you also want to call in. We can have you on the line. Just informing the listeners there. If anybody wants to call, can proceed.
So let me just make an argument there of saying, it does not benefit the patriarchy. It benefits the woman. Monogamy is the one that benefits the patriarchy because it makes sure that every man gets a woman. And remember, we have more women than men. That's a fact. We cannot argue about that one. So polygamy makes sure that the single mothers, the divorcee, whoever, you know, those women that are considered to be off the market, those are the people that we're taking care of. Remember, in the community, you will not have. It's not everyone who is bright. It's not everyone who is beautiful. It's not everyone, you know, these traits that men are always looking for. So you will not have the issue of side chicks. You will not have the issue of prostitution. You will not have the issue of single mothers. You will make, like, that man is going to take care of the kids that, like, that comes there, whether they are his or they are not his. There's no issue of absent fathers and all that. So when you look at this, it benefits the woman more because the woman has more to lose. A man can still marry even up to 70 years. He can still get a 25 or a 20-year-old. Now, what happens to the other women? It's their stability. That's why you find that. Most of the women that are divorcees, where do they go to? Prostitution, they go to bars. They are the people that are always causing havoc. They are the home wreckers. If you have a good community that is having... You see, I like the way the Muslims do it. The issue that you, again, maybe, I don't know if I'll say that you are correct. It's a morality issue. But for me, I think polygamy, I'll just relate it to, you know, just like wine or alcohol. It's not about, you know, I think it's more about legality. And depending on which faith that you follow, even the food is the same. There's nothing wrong. You, Mr. Snengela, when you eat bubble fish, there's nothing, there's no legal basis of me refusing you to eat pork. But if you are following a certain, you see, some of these things you must differentiate. It's the same thing with polygamy. Depending on where you come from, the problem we just view polygamy in terms of sex. We must view polygamy in terms of economic setup. Number one. Number two, in terms of community stability, village stability was based on that. When you even the sexual hot type, like the men that always say that no, them they are what, you will never cheat with four women being there. If you want, you can add. So your sexual desires they'll be satisfied there, and you make sure that all those women that you are having sexual like relations. they must not be hidden. They must not be secretive. They must be supported. The kids must have a father figure there, you see. And actually, if we flip it, because now the feminists always forget that these days, actually, it's even to their benefit that imagine if you marry a businesswoman, a doctor, a lawyer, and all these other prominent figures. Just like
but I don't think we should even bring feminism here, because feminism is not... it's not representing women as such.
No, they, like for them, they're against whatever. Like,
yeah, they
is just for men.
Yeah, it's they are not representing women. They are representing themselves.
But what I'm saying is this, and most of my sisters, I wish that this program could be listened by ladies. The ones who are matured, not these ones who are still not yet matured. Talk to any matured person. They will tell you that that person, number one, already has a kid. So they're already having different kids, maybe from three different baby daddies. So it's beneficial for them to find a stable man who is financially stable, who can take care of the lady herself, even if she's working or she's not working, and her kids. You see, because most of those, like the fathers of the kids, maybe they've gone away. They are somewhere else. They are not even in the picture. So that's what creates a problem in society. So we must look at this for the benefit of the community, not individuals. We must look at this to the benefit of the kids. When you look at, like into that, and even, you know, when we talk about the royal families, that's why they still continue with that. There is no dynasty that was created with just one woman. Normally, even from the Bible, from wherever, read the biggest or the most wealthy families, they were created through such type of setup. And you know that it's intergenerational wealth that is created. Because any man that he was strong enough, he would make sure that his legacy continues. And he cannot just limit himself with one person. What about if that person is maybe, you know, they are not giving birth, or maybe something goes wrong? You want to continue legacy. So that's the purpose. Just like Sinengela said, as Africans, we went through a lot. So in order for continuity, I'll end with this. The analogy that you were giving of the cooperation, eh? There is no company that will be happy with just one branch. Big companies always create different branches. Mr. Walenga would follow what NBC has done. We should have Eagle FM in every region, you see? That's how you grow. Even if he's gone, Eagle FM will remain. That was the intention of our great-grandfathers. You must understand that you are not looking at it from your own individualistic point of view. You are looking at it as an ongoing concern, just like a company. People create companies for it to last for 100 years. You know, companies like, you know, these companies that we have today, those names, they came from the Rockefeller families. From what, those names, they are still here until today because of the legacy that was left behind. And most of the successful people, even white people, they are learning from the Africans now that, you know, it's not about individual, it's about the community. Everyone benefits. And it's about continuing. That's why even in the animal kingdom, a lion, every other respected animal, you'll never see that that animal is just living. Because remember, it's survival of the fittest. So you want to spread the probabilities of saying, okay, if this one fails, at least this one will take care of this. If this one fails, just like the way we do with farming, you don't just plant maize. What about if there's drought? At least you have something else that will be drought resistant. So that's how a man must think. It's a strategy that we do. Now, these days that we, what is happening now is that we just do things secretively, but we don't want to come, you know, to take responsibility. People are fathering kids. There is the guy who was bragging that, no, he has 21 kids with different women. But that guy, I'm sure that he's not even supporting all those kids. But now, if it was back then, he was going to be forced that all those women that he impregnated, he must take care of them. You see? So he has already done what the government is doing. So now is that we just shifted the responsibility to the government. Back then, there was no government. The government was the man, because he was able to take care of 5 or 6 households. That's the state.
That brings us to say, you know, ruling the masses is a privilege of the government.
No, but it starts with a personal like responsibility first before you give it to the government.
No, look, in our society, a government was a man.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I'm saying polygamy, it's a patriarchal privilege.
Yes.
Because the patriarchy was the one responsible for the economic growth of the society. And women were brought in to manage that economy.
Okay, yes, when you say that. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying polygamy is a patriarchal privilege. Just like, you know, ruling, you know, the state is a political privilege of a government.
Yes. But if you look at it...
So women and children become the state.
Yes. But now, just imagine this. If this becomes a law, that's why you find that normally go to North Africa. North Africa is kind of a law. I don't know whether it's a law or just by, you know, by their faith. This is why you find that it's, you know, it's only in Nigeria where there is Christianity and Islam, where the things are a bit. But if you look at typical states that follow certain, you know, you find that their communities, they might be, you know, there might be conflict and all that. But in terms of a community level, you find that in terms of discipline, most of the kids, they come from households that are disciplined, because there is no such things of, there are certain areas where you'll be shocked. People will be shocked to find that, no, a woman can have 5 different baby daddies. Those things, they don't happen in certain areas, like in certain communities. So we are looking at the stability of a community, because once a community is stable, you find that the whole region or the whole country become stable. Even our leaders, that's where they come from. So now if you have these things of people who come from broken homes, single mothers and all those other issues that are conflicting the people, it's just the morality. We are losing it.
All right,
that's
sir.
Zulu. Let me just end this. The Zulu, that's why Jacob Zuma, he relates more to many people, because he still believes that the way things used to be done in the Zulu culture, no matter how violent they were, but in terms of the family structure, at least they still maintained a family structure that was bringing ladies who were disciplined, men who were able to take care of their homes. And that is the culture that we want our kids to come into. Responsibility is given when you are a child. Just like Nengela was saying, Owen, did you hear what he said? He said that the father used to like him when he was a young boy, because he used to go to the farm, he used to go to the field, he used to go to plow and whatever. That's the responsibility of a father. You will never get that, like that type of a teaching from the mom. The mother will just say, "Ah, no, it's fine. You know, you can sleep, you can do this. Ah, no, I'll get someone who is going to do it on your behalf." But the father wants to discipline you that, no, he knows that you'll not be there. That's what is missing in our society. And we need more. Whether that man is able to do it with 5 women, I don't care. As long as there's discipline and there's continuity, that will be there. And We need those father figures to, like, to come back. And they need to be supported. They must not be vilified.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the polygamy issue ends here. I think Minyoy and Owen have cooked it from a cultural point of view. And I was looking at it from, you know, morality and so forth. And they come in from a cultural point of view. So, you took what you're supposed to take out. Whatever you agree or disagree, it's your own choice. Whether you want to marry in a polygamous, monogamous, is your own individual choice. There is no law against monogamy. And there is no law forcing you to marry two or three women. Marriage is your individual choice. And, having said this, we are now coming to the end of our program, and let us meet again next Sunday when we are going to dive into what is happening. So, we continue, and let my colleague take over from the north, and we are going to meet again next Sunday. From me, the reliable kinetic energy, I would say thank you very much for tuning in.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard, I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption, don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight, far away in my well-lit door. Mr. beer belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents, there were hints and allegations. If you'd be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, we'll be right back.
Maybe it's his first time around. Doesn't speak language. He holds no currency. He is a foreign man. He is surrounded by the sound, sound. Cattle in the marketplace. Scatterlings and orphanages. He looks around and around. He sees angels in the architecture. Spinning in infinity. He says, angels.